This is Edward October, host of October Pod on YouTube. Hear that jingle jingle? It could be Kris Kringle, or a home invader looking for an open window, a jilted lover looking for revenge, or a disgruntled co-worker hoping to spike your eggnog with arsenic. The girls of our true crime podcast are always on Santa's nice list, but the crimes they discuss are very naughty indeed. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, Cam, how are you?
I am fantabulous, because you know why?
7 days? That no, 8 days?
Nope. I was going to say, it's not 7 days, it's me. It's 8 days, girl. It's 8 days.
It is.
We are just mere days away from the Christmas season, holiday season, the spirited season.
Do you have all your shopping done?
I got to tell you. You know what's going to be the downfall of me is Amazon. I know. That one service that the minute you think you need something, you can get it right away. That whoever created that, now I know who created it, but I mean, that's... I need some toothpaste. I mean, just order some. It's the worst thing ever.
I know.
It's going to take over the world. Anyway, speaking of worst thing ever, what do you have for us today on day 8 of our 12 nightmares before Christmas?
Well, I got to ask you a question. We've covered a lot of murders, obviously, on the show. What are the ways that people murder? What have we discussed? What have we talked about? Like, they shoot...
Shoot
each other,
stab, poison, trip,
strangle,
trip, you know, trip and make it look like it's a fall, which it's not. Mm-hmm. Chop right. up. What else? I don't know. You pretty much name it. Make them sick, feed them stuff to make them fatally ill. I'm going to guess that probably you have something that we haven't brought up yet. Am I right?
This case is from Canada. And it's the first serial killer who they know of that has killed with alcohol.
Like drinking alcohol or rubbing alcohol?
Like drinking alcohol, like wild turkey or whiskey or bourbon or such like that.
Well, I know you and I can both attest to we've drank so much at times that we thought we were dying.
Never. I've prayed for death. I've never thought I was dying, but I've prayed for it.
Been a time or two. I thought I was pretty close, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Mad Dog 2020 was not my friend.
I loved it with the moose cups. On ice. That is the most disgusting. $1.99 back in the day.
So today, I'm going to tell you a little story about Gilbert Paul Elsie. Now, Paul Elsie was born in Vancouver, Canada on December 12th, 1931. In high school, he became an alcoholic, and he dropped out of school at the tender age of 16. Didn't take Paul very long to start his criminal record. By 1952, he had convictions for rape, indecent assault, abduction, hit and run, drunk driving, car theft, and heroin possession.
You said indecent assault. Is that what that was?
Indecent assault.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what is that? I guess different country, different crime. I got you. Mm-hmm. Okay, keep going.
Being an alcoholic, Paul Elsie had, of course, a ravenous appetite for booze. And he also loved drunken sex, which to me, drunken sex is the least appetizing of them all. Especially if the man's drunk.
Are you out the roo yet?
Exactly. So when I say that Paul was an alcoholic, I'm not joking. He was drinking over 50 ounces of vodka a day. 50 ounces.
That's a lot
of alcohol. A lot of alcohol. So it's not really surprising when I tell you that everybody he hung out with, all of his companions, were also alcoholics.
Birds of a feather.
All right. When he went to trial, he was quoted, "Sober people wouldn't go out with me, so I didn't have much of an option. I didn't want to drink in my room all by myself." Yeah.
That's sad.
At least he was really a social drunk.
Yeah, but if he's so social, I think maybe he should have stayed in his room. I'm just going to guess that because, you know, it is a true crime podcast.
Not only was he an alcoholic, he also was a sexaholic. He said that he had sex with over 200 women a year. It's not surprising that he sought out prostitutes that were in the bad areas and in dive bars all across Vancouver. And he typically liked to pick up the First Nations women. Paul was pretty well known by the police, obviously, for his long criminal record. But in 1961, police caught him with a 5-year-old First Nations girl in his car. 5 years old. Now, he was charged with abduction, but he was never convicted. And pretty much the case ended in a stay of proceedings in May of 1961, which pretty much means they just halted the trial and they never brought it back. I guess they didn't have enough evidence or something.
Or it was just too draining on the family. It's a little girl, you know, and then the mom to hear that.
Shortly after Christmas Day in 1961, the drunken, surprisingly, Paul threatened to jump off the Lions Gate Bridge. Now, he had had traffic all backed up until he basically just gave it up, decided he wasn't going to do it. But then soon after that, he was brought into court where he was found in contempt of court for saluting Nazi style in the courtroom.
Nice.
He's pretty bright.
At this time, he's like, what, 30? Almost 30? Because he was born in 31.
He was 31.
Okay. All right.
So he's in his 30s.
So he's not even that old. Okay.
In 1963, Paul lured two women in his car with an invitation to drink alcohol with him. Soon, police charged him with rape and theft. He was only convicted on the theft charge, though, but acquitted for rape. In prison, he learned a skill. He learned how to cut hair.
Oh.
So once he got out of prison, he opened up a barber shop, which was pretty much in the seedy part of Vancouver.
Well, at least he has a skill. I like that.
He has a skill. So he's making money and he starts investing his money in the stock market. And he did really well investing
his
money.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say no. I'm just kidding.
No, he did. One of the articles I read, it goes, they did so well, he was able to afford the best lawyers, which is really good.
All the reason you do not want to use that money.
Why waste your money on lawyers? Really? Come on. In 1965, a switchboard operator by the name of Ivy Rose, they called Doreen Oswald.
They called her Doreen after Ivy Rose.
They called
Rose.
Her Doreen.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She accompanied Paul on one of his drinking binges. And the next day, her nude body was found in a Vancouver hotel room with the blood alcohol level of 0.51. Now, death by alcohol poisoning occurs at around 0.4.
Really?
The legal driving limit is 0.08. And the article I read said chugging 12 beers results in a blood alcohol level of about 0.3. And this is usually the point when a person blacks out. Now, to die of alcohol poisoning, the victim had to drink a lot of booze in a very short time and very quickly. But Doreen's death was ruled an accident. She didn't mean to do it. But so a few short days after Doreen's death, Gilbert Paul Elsie changed his name to Gilbert Paul Jordan.
Well, okay. I think I would have went a little different there, but okay.
Next few years, the drunk driving charges and convictions just keep coming, you know, one after the other, one after the other. They kept building and building. And even in 1969, Paul was charged twice for drunk driving on the same day.
What? Didn't they put him in prison? I mean, jail?
You would think. Different time, I guess, in 1969 in Canada.
I guess that's true because, like, growing up in a small town, I remember if people were drinking and driving, they shouldn't be, and the police officers found you, they'd just be like, okay, sir, you need to head home.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, even when we were in high school, they're like, pour it out, and we were, like, underage. But just weird. I think Vancouver would have some stiffer laws, but whatever, 1969.
Well, I think number two. Obviously, so, he is a known, he's got a known problem. Like, people right. know him, right?
But soon, it seems like our friend Paul was soon amassing other criminal charges. He's getting
bored. You know?
1971, Vancouver, BC. He committed another indecent act in a public place. Charges dismissed. In 1973, in Mackenzie, British Columbia, he was convicted of indecent exposure. 1974, in Prince George, British Columbia, he was convicted of indecent assault and sentenced to 2 years less a day.
So right? he actually did have to go serve 2 years?
2 year or 1 year and 364 days. Yeah, oh, just like okay. one day shot short. Years.
That's weird. Yeah. Why would mm-hmm. you do that?
So the Crown tried to have good old Paul declare a dangerous offender in 1974 after the Prince George incident. But Jordan's stock market money, his good lawyer, got involved and got that request denied.
Kind of surprised after all that.
In 1975, he was started to be called the Boozing Barber. Pretty nice, right?
Well, not a moniker I'd want, but clever nonetheless.
Yep, he was out back on the street. He did his time and he's out now. This time, he abducted a woman from a mental institution. Police charged him on several counts, including kidnapping and sexual intercourse with a feeble-minded person. And then he was sentenced to 26 months for assault. Between 1980 and 1988, Paul became a serial killer. And this is where he killed at least 6 women.
Oh, Lord.
And Paul had a particular MO. He would pay women, usually prostitutes that were of First Nations. Remember, he likes the First Nations yeah. women. He would pay them to drink or to have sex with him in his barbershop or maybe even a cheap motel somewhere.
So in between cutting hair, he's getting his, you know, he's having some fun, shall we? Dalliances?
Well,
I don't know.
Like, here's my question. I've been with men that drank a lot.
Oh, uh-huh.
Right?
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say. Okay.
And usually nothing comes up. Does that make sense?
TMI, Jen. TMI. I think we all know that, but okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm just stating, so I'm kind of curious.
You know what, though? If he was such a hard drinker, it's always in his blood. So there's probably that. And then also, that's in his mind, even if it doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so he offered these sex workers to have sex with him, obviously, and or to drink with him. Now, if they actually drank straight whiskey or any other kind of straight liquor, he would pay them more money.
So he wanted them? Okay, yeah. Was he wanting them to get really sloppy drunk, or was he...
Well, when the women passed out, mm-hmm. he would force alcohol down their throats, and then he would rape them as they died.
That is a whole new kind of sick.
Thank you, right? I don't know if it had some kind of... He had some kind of necrophilia type thing going on, or if...
I don't know. Power, for sure.
Something, but he liked to get the women extremely drunk. Here's the name of the 6 women that he killed and their blood alcohol level. Mary Johnson, blood alcohol level, 0.34. Barbara Paul, blood alcohol level, 0.41.
Whoa.
Mary Johns, blood alcohol level, 0.76. Patricia Thomas, blood alcohol level, 0.51. Patricia Andrew, blood alcohol level, 0.79.
So he's going up, like he was getting...
Well, he's just doing whatever he can do. Vera Harry, blood alcohol level, 0.04. Although Paul reported the deaths after he called his lawyer, he somehow escaped the police investigating him. Every which one that they saw, they ruled as an accidental death by alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, because you wouldn't think that somebody's going to murder somebody like that or force it down.
His victims were known alcoholics and prostitutes, and they were supposedly at high risk for this kind of death.
So it wouldn't be unusual. Red flags were up.
Right.
I get
it's it. Just, yeah. But you would think, well, here's another person that died of alcohol poisoning. Oh, look who was with her. Nobody caught on.
That's like the previous, wait, what night are we on? 8? This is 8, right?
yeah. Yeah.
Previous seven, the baby's dying. I mean, don't you think sooner or later? One, okay. Two, oh, that's sad. Three, okay, something's up. Like, come on.
You would think. I mean, and they were all around the same area. It wasn't like, I mean, they were in either in his barbershop or they were in a hotel close to his barbershop. So it wasn't like it was in different, you know, cities.
And they're all connected to him.
Right.
I don't know about you, Jen, but I don't think anybody's died of alcohol poisoning that's friends with me. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't happen that often.
Right. Paul finally came under suspicion in 1987. Seems he spent the night of October 11th drinking with a female companion at the Seedy Niagara Hotel in Vancouver. Now, several times that night, Paul went out to buy booze. And at 6 a.m. on October 11th, he left the hotel for the last time. And then, at 7:40, the police received an anonymous phone call saying to check out a room at the Niagara Hotel.
Who called?
Well, when the police go to check the tip, just the tip. Sorry, I couldn't
say. I'm terrible.
Oh, when the police go to check out the tip, they find the body of Vanessa Lee Buckner. And she's lying naked on the floor of the hotel after a night of drinking with Jordan. And her blood alcohol level was, are you ready?
I'm
0.91. People are saying different things about Vanessa here. Some people said she was not a heavy drinker, nor was she a sex worker. But other people said that she had recently lost custody of her newborn baby, and the baby had been born with a drug dependency, and she was an alcoholic, and she did do a lot of different drugs. Mm-hmm. So, different.
I mean, even if you're a heavy drinker, that's beyond heavy drinking. You know what I mean? Usually with alcohol, you pass out before you would be able to consume that much. You know what I mean? So that it is almost like sticking like a pipe or a tube down your throat and forcing it down.
Mm-hmm. The police tracked the anonymous phone call and they found it came from a room at a nearby hotel where Paul was staying at. It was Paul's room. So the police questioned Paul and they let him go. And then a month later, another woman by the name of Edna Shade was found dead in another hotel. And when they canvassed the room and took prints, they found Paul's fingerprints.
Good.
So now the police decided to put surveillance on Paul, finally. So between October 12th and November 26th of 1987, the police watched him, quote, search out Native Indian women in the Skid Row area of Vancouver. And on four different occasions, the police rescued the women involved before she, too, became a victim.
Wow.
Uncount.
Yay, police.
The four women were later found to have blood alcohol levels between 0.43 and 0.52.
Wow. Now, do you think he picked out those type of women because either... Do you think it was because he was attracted to them or because he thought that they wouldn't be missed? Like, he thought he could get away with it more.
He could have had a preference to them. It wasn't said, but he liked to hang out with alcoholics. So, and they are the easy targets. You know what I'm saying? During the trial, court records show that the police, when they would follow Paul to the hotel room with the women that he picked up, the police would stand outside the hotel room and they would listen in just in case, you know, so they could swoop in and anything happen. Obviously. They didn't do too well if the four women, you know, were found. But anyway, I digress. Anyway, they listened and they heard Paul say these things. And this is all a quote, okay?
I can't wait.
Have a drink. Down the hatch, baby. $20 if you drink it right down. See if you're a real woman. Finish that drink. Finish that drink. Down the hatch. Hurry right down. You need another drink? I'll give you $50 if you can take it. I'll give you $10, $20, $50, whatever you want. Come on, I want to see you get it all down. Get it right down. I'll give you $50. And the $13? I'll give you $50. I told you that. If you finish that, I'll give you $75. Finish your drink. I'll give you another $20.
Well,
that's dirty alcoholic sex talk right there.
I guess so. I mean, obviously now I know what was turning him on, I think, right? Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. After hearing all this, the police rush in the room and they find the woman. She had just lost consciousness. And when they came into the room, Paul was lying on top of her, forcing the contents of this huge vodka bottle down her throat.
So he loved that. I guess when they're passed out, though, are they swallowing that? You would think they'd choke.
I don't know how that'd work. I don't know.
Because you'd think, like, if you were giving him just a little bit, like, you know, syringe full or just a little bit, like, a shot glass even. But I even think that's too much, you know, to be able to swallow it when you're passing out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works. You would think that it would just not
fall out. You'd choke to death.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah.
Or asphyxiate on it or something. So then the police go in and they search into Paul's background a little bit and they link him with at least 8 deaths and possibly 10 or more.
What? Mm-hmm. Same way?
Same way.
That's terrible.
He was only charged in 7 of the deaths, but he was only convicted in the death of Vanessa Lee Buckner and he received 15 years for manslaughter.
That's it.
That's it. And in court, poor Vanessa's dad had to hear how after she died, Paul raped her while black liquid was coming out of her mouth.
That's what he liked. That's disgusting. Like, he liked that.
It had to be some kind of necrophilia.
Yeah, but also the control of, like, I mean, honestly, sort of creating a zombie. So he was. You know what I mean?
Know.
He would create somebody that was still alive on the brink of death and...
Unreal. Just unreal.
That's horrible.
What a weapon.
I say that all the time, but
I know.
I mean, I have never heard anything like that.
I know. But good old Paul, thanks to the stock market and all his investments, his
got
lawyer.
Good lawyers. Thank goodness he had good lawyers.
His lawyer appealed and succeeded in reducing his sentence to 9 years, which of those 9 years, he only served 6.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I hope that he drank himself to death and he's not around anymore. Am I right?
Well, after his release, he was placed on probation, which restricted him to Vancouver Island. And in June of 2000, he was charged with sexual assault, normal assault, negligence causing bodily harm, and administering a noxious substance, which was alcohol.
And... See, right there, then he needs to just go away for life.
Right.
Am I wrong?
You would think.
Like,
I mean,
can't...
that's probation. So then later in 2000, after this happened, Paul tried to change his name again. This time he wanted to change it to Paul Pierce. And at this time, somebody caught it. And it seemed like he was going to change it in Ontario, I guess. You didn't have to do background checks in Ontario. So you could just change your name.
Mm.
So somebody...
I would have a new name all the time.
All the time.
Just because it's fun.
So somebody caught him trying to change his name. So they quickly closed that loophole and he was not able to change his name.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you know where he is today?
Well, Paul was once again arrested in 2002 for breach of probation because he was found drinking and in the presence of a woman while in possession of alcohol. Could you imagine that being your probation?
No, I was just thinking that. I was like, isn't that how, like, most first dates start? Let's meet for drinks or dinner or whatever.
Right. You can't, but he could not be found with alcohol. He couldn't be in the presence of women with alcohol. He's a mess. So he was found guilty and sentenced to 15 months in jail, followed by 3 years probation and strict conditions. However, on August 11th, 2004, he was arrested in Winnipeg for violating that probation order for an incident at the York Hotel in Swift Current, Saskatchewan.
Hmm.
He had been identified binge drinking with a woman by the name of Barb. Now, Barb was a resident at that hotel, and she had a serious drinking problem. Right?
I was just going to say, was she a sex worker, too?
Did not say. But remember, he liked to keep company with alcoholics, birds of a feather and all that. So a friend of Barb's, who also worked at the hotel, found Barb passed out and rushed her to the hospital. She was in a very bad way, rushed to the hospital. She lived. But Barb's friend identified Paul as being there. So he was charged, but then he was acquitted of those charges in 2005. But after they let him go from these charges, the police issued a public warning about him to stay away.
You think?
Can you imagine?
No.
But yeah, the police issued a warning. Unreal. And needless to say, Gilbert Paul Jordan died in 2006. And I'm going to take a wild guess and say it was probably cirrhosis of the liver.
So that's what I was trying to think. So to that, how old is he? Yeah, it's math, Jen. 31 to 2006. I mean, he lived a pretty good long life for being such a hard drinker, right?
Yeah, you would think. Why are you hoping there's hope for you?
Yeah, 70. So 75. He was
75.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, honestly, because a lot.
For drinking 70, or what was it, 50 ounces of vodka a day?
But for years.
Right.
I mean, that's hard liquor. That usually.
Like, he started drinking when he was 16.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, plus that's, I'd like to do a little research on that, that little kink, that thing he had that to do that. But also to hang out with the alcoholics, he had to do that because he was going to ply them with all that alcohol and they were going to die. Well, you can't take somebody that doesn't drink or is a light to moderate drinker and then they died from alcohol poisoning because everybody would say that is not okay. That's
right.
Not correct. That did not happen, right?
Right.
So it makes more sense that he would want to hang out with alcoholics all the time or people that had drinking problems.
And it's no fun hanging out with an alcoholic if you're in a group and even if you're drunk and to be with somebody who's like incredibly wasted and they keep wanting to drink all the time, it's not fun. You know, you've been there.
Well, yeah, and it's constantly.
Yeah.
Like, you don't.
No, your body needs a break after
just,
so much.
Saddest thing I've ever seen leaving Las Vegas with Nick Cage and how, I mean, that movie was heartbreaking, heartbreaking that would happen.
Yeah,
you know,
but to like,
you just.
That like dirty. Come on, baby, I'll give you $50. Bring it down. Take it all down.
But you know what? That was his thing. That's what he liked. That was his kink.
That was his sexual...
The funny part was, is when I say funny, I mean odd. Mm-hmm. Not funny, haha, but if you would hear that tape and not know that it was talking about alcohol, it could be anything.
Right.
Back in the day, oral sex was, you know, that was a taboo or
well,
whatever.
Well, this was in the 90s, but...
No, I know, but what I'm saying is that could have been anything, but we know now it's alcohol, and you're like, what? That's so weird.
Very well.
Alcohol.
So anyway, that's the story of the boozing barber. What about that moniker? How do you like that? It almost sounds like some kind of musical on off-Broadway.
Right? And the boozing barber. Da, da, da,
ladies
da, da.
And gentlemen, the boozing barber on stage.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, Jen, that was a good one. Terrible. And I got to tell you, we haven't heard anything quite like that.
No. You know. Who would have ever thought to kill somebody by alcohol? Kill somebody by putting poison in their alcohol?
Yeah.
Yeah, but purposely killing somebody with wild turkey or whatever, or vodka, I guess. Stoli. Yeah.
Takes all kinds, I tell you.
Way to go, Canada.
I love Canada.
You're number one.
Nice to them.
No, I love Canada.
Yeah.
It's my home away from home.
They usually have the nice people. Huh.
No, everybody's nice there.
But there's one in every country, you know what I'm saying?
Our good friend Mike from Brew Crime and our friend Genevieve from Real Time Real Crime, I believe, are our Canadian friends, so... And Robin Warder from The Trail Went Cold.
And The Trail Went Cold.
Yeah. All right.
All right, buddy. Good job. Tomorrow it's my day.
Nine.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Nine.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, buddy.
All right.
And hey, Jen.
Yeah.
Remember, lock your doors.
Keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Jen. For more information about this episode, as well as all other sources, please check out our show notes or the podcast website at ourtruecrimepodcast.com. Our True Crime Podcast is developed and created by the hosts, Jen and Cam. Original music and audio mix of all our True Crime Podcast episodes is courtesy of Nico Vertese from We Talk of Dreams. You can reach Nico at wetalkofdreams.com. Listener discretion is provided by Edward October from Octoberpod VHS. You can find all of his great works on YouTube. Please make sure to like and subscribe to our true crime podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. We can be reached on Instagram and Facebook at Our True Crime Podcast or on Twitter with the handle at Our True Crime Pod. You can also email us at ourtruecrimepodcast@gmail.com. We would also at this time like to thank our patrons. We would be so lost without you. Thank you so much. And if you would like to help support the show, you can check us out on patreon.com/ourtruecrimepodcast. You can also show your support by leaving a 5-star review on Apple or simply just tell your friends about us. It's that easy. Love ya.